Hello and welcome to Journeys in Faith here on this Friday evening. This is Ann DeSantis on the Ann DeSantis YouTube channel. And as you can see, I am joined by a guest this evening, and it's a wonderful guest. Her name is Louise Carson. She and her husband reside in Western New York. I've been blessed to meet her through the foundation that I represent, which is the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation and the Our Lady of Mercy in St. Bridget's Parishes up in Western New York. So Louise, thank you so much for joining me on this program.
Thank you for inviting me.
And also, Louise is involved in Magnificat conferences, and we are going to talk about that. She is a coordinator, and we're starting out with the program just talking about Louise's faith journey, and there's so much to share. I was blessed to be able to hear her faith journey at a one-day retreat up in Western New York at Our Lady of Mercy, and I was so blessed and honored to just hear the wonderful witness of faith. And so, Louise, share with us, how did your faith journey begin?
Well, I, like most people, was a cradle Catholic. I went to elementary and high school at Catholic schools. And after high school, I went to the convent. It was my dream to be a nun. I didn't stay very long, actually just 3 days. I've made longer retreats. And then after that, I met my husband, Bill, and we got married shortly after that. We had 3 children within 5 years. So it's great. My kids are all in their 50s now, which is hard to believe. But Bill and I were very happy in our marriage. And along the way, as you bring the kids to church, it's so hard to keep them quiet. And I remember coming home one day after Mass and thinking, why am I even going? All I'm doing is paying attention to keeping the kids quiet. But, you know, God heard those words. And shortly after that, there was a women's retreat being sponsored by my parish at a local retreat house. So I went to that. And I couldn't believe, as I sat there listening to the priest as he was speaking, the words that he said just resonated within me. He said, do you know that God loves you? That he loves you just as you are right now? You don't have to do anything to earn his love. He loves you completely. Those words just resonated within me. And I experienced Jesus is alive, not up in heaven, just doing his thing up in heaven. He's alive right here around me and with me. And the next morning on a retreat, I remember waking up and I heard within me, Louise, I call you by name. Over and over again, I call you by name, Louise. And I thought, well, he just wants me to go down to the chapel. And so I got up and got dressed and went down there and said, okay, here I am, Lord. And as soon as I said those words, here I am, Lord, I realized it wasn't that he wanted me in the chapel. He wanted my heart. He wanted me to give all of myself to him. And I did. And I just felt so moved by his Holy Spirit that I knew that anything that happened to me in my life, he would be with me. When I came home, I felt like I was on a honeymoon with Jesus. I was reading scripture like crazy, and I understood it, and I was so excited that I just wanted to be with Jesus. Well, that lasted about 3 months, and then the honeymoon feeling faded, and I started going to a charismatic prayer group at my own parish, and that helped me to sustain my relationship with the Lord. As time went on, my daughter got to be in her adolescent years and had some real rebellious behavior. She ran away from home for 5 days when she was 14, and shortly after that became pregnant. We went for help to the Catholic Family Center of Rochester, and they really helped us to understand that a child at that age giving birth usually doesn't want to keep her child once they see how much work it is. And they can't do what their friends are doing. So they advised us, you know, that we might want to place her. So we did. We placed her in Melita House, which was a home for pregnant teenagers sponsored by the Sisters of Mercy. So Robin lived there for about 5 months, and a month before she gave birth, we moved her to a foster home in with the same town that we lived. Then when she did give birth, she was going back into the foster home with her child. Brandon was born 6 weeks. Oh, I didn't mention that. My mother-in-law was dying at the same time. So we were really going through some struggles. And 6 weeks after she died, Brandon was born. And the hard time for me was when I had to pick them up at the hospital and drop her off at the foster mother's home. Because a foster mother could teach her how to mother more than I could, because she wouldn't listen to me. It was really difficult when I drove away from the foster mother's home. All I could think of is, Mary, Mother Mary, did you feel like a failure like I do when you lost Jesus in the temple? So I really kind of connected with Mary at that point. Excuse me. So they lived there for about 4 more months. And then we all agreed it was time for Robin and Brandon to come home. She came home on probation because she was in the foster care system still. And if she acted out, they would find another home for her. About 10 years later, the boys, they had 2 boys younger than Robin, and they went to, one went to college, one went into the Navy, and they came home. There's that rotating door that kids seem to do. So we were 6 people living at home now. The 2 boys, Robin and Brandon, myself and my husband. And shortly after that, my husband came home one night and said, things have changed. He's in love with another woman. And within 2 weeks, he moved out. It was so hard for all of us because we didn't see it coming. I had no clue. I was very happy in my marriage. So when I, you know, went to the Lord, and immediately he said to me, I will never leave you. God's promise. I went to scripture in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. I had to trust him. He gave me strength. I could not understand how this gentle, loving man could do this to our family. And then I went to scripture again. And this is a scripture that sustains me and has sustained me through many things since then. I'll read it some, Jeremiah 29. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord, and I will change your lot. Now, divorce is a very hard thing to go through. And I think one of the harder things, besides the hurt, is trying to forgive him. I think I really was upset more because my kids were so hurt. They were in their 20s and Brandon was 10. But we all lived together and it felt like he was deserting all of us. So in trying to forgive, I talked to God and just, you know, God, I don't feel like forgiving him. I don't think he deserves to be forgiven. But I knew that if I didn't, anger and resentment would just reside in me. It would hurt me more than it would hurt him. And it would hurt all my relationships with other people. So I told God, okay, I desire to forgive him. I desire to try to forgive him. And sometimes I just say, I'm trying to want to desire to forgive him. It was very hard. And forgiveness is a process. it takes a while. It takes lots of times to say, I try to forgive. And I know with God's help, I would be able to. It is a process, and forgiveness is a decision. Just like love is a decision, we decide to forgive over and over. And forgiveness isn't a feeling. You may never feel forgiveness, but continuing to say, Jesus, I need your grace to help to forgive. 10 years after my divorce and annulment, I met Bob, just in time for the next chapter in my family's life. His presence was very helpful to me. One day, my daughter called to say that Brandon had been hurt at work. He was 21 now and was a construction worker. He was digging in an unsupported trench that caved in on him. He died within 3 hours. God, where are you? I just kept saying, God, where are you? How can this happen? And I heard, I'm here. I will never leave you. And my daughter, she was suffering, and I couldn't help her. I was hurting too. I didn't know how to help her. So I prayed to Mary, and I asked Mary to wrap Robin in her mantle. Probably 3 years later, that prayer was answered. Robin, in her process of grief, Our Lady of Guadalupe somehow revealed herself to Robin as another mother who lost her only son. Robin's devotion to Mary now is centered around trusting Mary and looking for her to give her the grace to bear her grief with strength and a lack of self-pity. Mary did something I couldn't do. Mary is always our mother.
Louise, I just want to interject here. Of course, I've heard your story before, but it's such an honor for you to be on this program. And you're a person of such deep faith and character. And you've been through so much, but your faith is what helps you to get through. And I know there's a lot more to your story that we're going to hear when we come back after this commercial break. So if it's okay with you and with everyone, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a few here on Journeys in Faith.
Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, this is Archbishop Perez with a special message recognizing the incredible work of the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith. In 2015, its founders were inspired by the World Meeting of Families and the visit of Pope Francis to create a pastoral ministry in Philadelphia for the benefit of families facing relationship crisis. The foundation ministers to struggling families and individuals through a confidential prayer line, pastoral appointment with priests, retreats, and much more. I'm deeply grateful for the work of the St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation. In a short time, it has already strengthened and sustained hundreds of families. For more information about this pastoral ministry, please visit the website on your screen and join me in praying for families throughout a local church. May God bless you abundantly.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Journeys in Faith here on this Friday evening. It's great to be here with you. And I am joined by my good friend here, Louise Carson. Louise, again, thank you so much for being a guest on this program. Oh, we need to unmute her. There we go. Thank you, Louise. And again, thank you for being a guest. I loved hearing your story. I mean, as I said, I've heard it before, but your witness to Christ and how God has gotten you through so many difficult times in life is just a wonderful thing for our audience to hear and encourage them during this season of life. So I would love it if you could pick up where you left off on your faith journey.
Sure. We were talking about Brandon's death. And I think one of the things that we all think when bad stuff happens is, how does God allow that? And, you know, a lot of people get angry at God. But I believe that it wasn't God's design that Brandon would die now. He knew it would happen, but he didn't make it happen. Life happens, and sometimes it's messy. Sin is in the world, and our sin and the sin of others, and we get affected by it. But as Christians, we know that God is always with us, even in that messy stuff, and that he can bring good through it if we trust in him. He will never leave us. And in the last year, we've been going through a hard time. My husband, Bob, has been very sick. Every time we think things are getting better, something else happens. And at one point, I couldn't pray. Like most times when the bad stuff is happening, I have a hard time praying. I just keep saying over and over, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. If that's all I can come up with, that's a wonderful thing, and God's pleased with that. Another good thing that did happen during this time is Bob had been diagnosed with an autoimmune kidney disease. And they put him on high doses of prednisone, which wasn't being effective. And they were going to start chemo. And probably about 3 days before the chemo, he fell and got a big gash in his leg, ended up in the hospital. They had to take him off the prednisone because he wouldn't heal. And that was a long story. It all is healed now. And he's had other events with his wounds on his legs. But when we went to the kidney doctor a couple weeks ago, Bob's numbers, his blood test numbers, were all back to normal. And the kidney doctor said, I don't understand this. He said, that never happens. And I don't understand it. So Bob was very happy to tell him, lots of people have been praying, and prayer works. God works. So we're grateful for the miracle of the healing of his kidney disease.
That's amazing. And I didn't know that story, the one at the end about Bob's health and the good numbers on his test and everything. So I'll definitely keep that all in my prayers.
Thank you.
Now, I know that you also wanted to share, and I don't want to interrupt your faith journey, so please continue. But I know that one of the things we want to talk about is the fact that you are also involved in Magnificat, and you are a coordinator in Western New York. And so however you want to work that in with finishing your faith journey, but we would also love to hear about Magnificat.
I'd be happy to tell you about it. Magnificat is a ministry to Catholic women, and it was founded about 42 years ago in New Orleans. And it was the women in the Charismatic Renewal that were challenged by their bishop to have a breakfast for women. So they formed Magnificat, and it's usually three or four breakfasts a year. Each chapter has three or four breakfasts a year, and it features music, praise and worship, and a speaker. And the speaker is someone witnessing to their own life and how God has worked, similar to what I just told you today. And Magnificat, actually, the statement is, it exists to evangelize and encourage Catholic women to grow in holiness through their opening more fully to the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are chapters in Virgin Islands, Poland, Uganda, Malta, and over 100 chapters in the United States itself. Rochester is just one of them. And we have 3 breakfasts a year. I've been a speaker at 6 different chapters, mostly in New England. And I'm very honored to be able to share my story, because hopefully it's an encouragement to other women that life doesn't have to devastate you. You have to trust in God. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. And I've been to a Magnificat conference before in Philadelphia, and it was a while ago, but it's a good reminder to go again, because it is a beautiful time of fellowship and prayer and faith. And I just congratulate you for all the work that you're doing, but mostly just for who you are. I mean, you are such an inspiring person of faith who's been through so much, and yet you're always able to see the good in every single day, aren't you? You're able to, yes, you are. I believe you are. Now, I'm sure that there's some people that are watching this podcast right now that are thinking, oh my goodness, after hearing your story and thinking, how do I get through my tough times? Because everybody's going through something, I think, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Would you have any type of words of advice for them in order to develop their faith so that they can be able to see the good in every day and trust God, right? Isn't it all about trusting God? I see on the wall there, you have a picture of the Divine Mercy, which was from St. Faustina. Jesus, I trust in you. Please talk a little bit about that too.
Sure. I think that as a Catholic woman, even when you're going through the tough times, to continue to try to take little steps in growing in your faith. Maybe say morning prayer, or the rosary is a wonderful source of strength. And I remember at one Magnificat conference I went to, one of the speakers was just saying that she found the rosary to be boring and difficult and didn't get a lot out of it. But I remember the one sentence that was encouraging to me was, Mary wants you to say the rosary. And I thought, wow, I guess if Mary wants me to, that's good enough for me. So I try, I'm not 100% good at saying it every single day, but I try to say the rosary every day and connect with Mary, because she's a mother, and all of us mothers need to have a model, and she's a wonderful model.
Amen, she is. And that's what the Magnificat conference is all about, through the intercession of Mary, right? And I would love for you to tell people if there's anything going on with you in ministry, because you do talks too. Now, I'm from the greater Philadelphia area. You're from Western New York. I know that we have people that are located even where I live or in other places in the United States that might think, wow, I really love to have Louise come to my parish and talk and give her story, because you do have such a witness of faith. So tell us about that. How would that work? I know that you have talked at other different parishes and organizations. We'd love to hear more.
Well, if any of my listeners listening from West Virginia, I am speaking at a Magnificat breakfast in West Virginia on June 1st. If you want to know more about Magnificat Ministry, you can go to magnificat-ministry.net, and you'll be connected to the main Magnificat website. And on that website, you can link into all the chapters if you wanted to, you know, reach out to a chapter in your local area. And if you wanted to hear me speak again, you could reach out to me at louisecarson3@gmail.com. And I'd be happy to talk with you about coming to your parish.
Sounds good. And I encourage people to do that too. And if you didn't catch that, you know, you could simply also just reach out to me, which some of you are receiving this on email, because I do an email blast with my shows. You could just connect with me, and I can, you know, be sure to make that connection between you and Louise. Now, regarding your story or anything else, you know, we're headed toward the end of the program, Louise. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share? Any final words to our audience?
Trust in Jesus. He'll never leave you. And I'm counting on that. He'll always be with you.
Amen. It has been such an honor to host you, as I keep repeating over and over, but it's true. I've been really looking forward to having you on the program. I know that we scheduled this months ago, so it's good that it finally came to be. I would also like to invite those who are Louise followers or anyone who's seeing the show for the first time, if you would subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's Ann DeSantis on YouTube. And on Facebook, there is a Journeys in Faith with Ann DeSantis page that you can also like and follow. So Louise, thank you so much again for being a guest on this program.
Oh, thank you.
God bless. We'll see all of you here next time on Journeys in Faith with Ann DeSantis. We are the first and third Friday of every month at 8:30 p.m. See you then. God bless.
God bless.